Today, the falls in home prices are accelerating. What next? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, with the latest post covering finance and property news. Well, last Tuesday, my live show about the latest from our surveys, we walked through our scenarios for property prices over the next 3 years by each state. I'm going to recap that segment from the show, but before I do, here is a screen grab from Sydney auctioneer Tom Pannis, who says the Sydney real estate market is in a price fall. It's a great time to buy in the next few months. Well, it's certainly looking like a buyer's market, but I'm not sure I would rush in now. Even Albo switched from an auction to private treaty for the sale of his investment property in Dulwich Hill. As Tom Pannis put it, they are not going to get crazy bidding on the day. And realestate.com published an article on the 12th of October with a title, $75,000 down in 3 months. The inner city hotspots in free fall. The article refers to Brisbane. And it says, house prices in some of Brisbane's most popular suburbs dipped by up to $75,000 over the past quarter, despite continued growth across most of the state. Houses in well-heeled Paddington recorded the largest dollar drop of $75,541 in the 3 months from July to September, sliding to a still hefty median of $1.9 million, according to PropTrack's quarterly home price report. Prices were down $64,050 in St. Lucia. In the city's west, the median there is $1.9 million, $60,806 in Yeronga, $1.4 million median, and $62,111 in Bundahl on the Gold Coast with a median of $1.9 million. Went on to say a total of 87 suburbs across the state recorded a fall in either houses or unit prices last quarter, although annual figures showed positive growth in all but two suburbs. For units, inner city Spring Hill and Brassell Ipswich prices both dropped about $50,093 in the last 3 months. Brisbane buyer's agent Lauren Jones said demand for city apartments had slowed considerably. With the cost of living so high right now, many people don't want to be spending $8,000 to $10,000 a year on body corporate fees, she said. However, I am starting to see a lot more investors looking at units as opposed to freestanding houses, and that could be down to the price point, but also the attractive rental return. The quarterly figures reflected the longer-term trends of units outperforming houses in metro areas. Ray White, chief economist Nerida Conersby, said houses priced in the lower percentiles had recorded the most significant price growth nationally, up 12.2% over the past 12 months. In comparison, our most expensive homes have seen a price slowdown, perhaps now reflecting the prolonged impact of high interest rates, she said. PropTrack economist Anne Flattery said affordability and dwindling supply were key factors behind the shift to units. House prices have moved up dramatically over the past 5 years, so many people have been priced out of purchasing a house, she said. And while the cost of living pressures and higher interest rates put a dampener on growth since June in some areas, Anne Flattery forecast continued price hikes, particularly in the greater metro apartment market. The speed at which prices are rising has definitely moderated compared to last year, although we've seen a lot of areas with very strong quarterly growth, she said. It has taken people longer to save a deposit to buy a home, but having said that, the market varies a lot by suburb, and I don't think we're in store for a correction anytime soon, purely because the supply of homes is likely to remain below what is required to keep pace with demand, and that puts upward pressure on prices. Now, here is my modelling of the future trajectory of prices, taking into account the following economic indicators. First, pressure on households is leading to a fall in consumption and savings rates. Second, consumer confidence is in the gutter. And third, business investment is flat, suggesting that we may see unemployment rising ahead. In the light of that, I'll let you decide which of our three scenarios looks most likely to eventuate. Oh, and of course, the RBA seems to be holding firm on higher for longer interest rates as bond rates also moved higher. Now, with regards to the momentum in house prices, it is worth just looking at what CoreLogic said, because they did say that home values inch higher nationally as growth loses momentum. They make the point there that it does vary, but you can see there that Melbourne was down again, Hobart was down again, Sydney is slowing, Perth is still quite strong, Adelaide quite strong, and Brisbane is still a little higher, but easing. And here are the latest results showing over the month, quarter, and annually, and the median values. And this is quite shocking when you look at the median value in Sydney at $1.18 million. That's ridiculously high. $777,000 in Melbourne. Brisbane higher. It says Brisbane has overtaken Melbourne now. And Adelaide, believe it or not, has overtaken Melbourne. And even Perth has overtaken Melbourne now in terms of the median value. And that's because, of course, the Melbourne story has been decaying for quite some time. But those spreads of reductions are now bubbling out. And you can see there that the regional stories were quite high. But over the last year, the annual rise, very high in Brisbane, 14%, Adelaide, 14%, Perth, 24%, Hobart and Fall, more than 1%, Melbourne, more than 1%. And over the last month, falls in some areas as well. Another way of representing it, you can see here that the story has changed, and look at the combined capitals. So we are seeing a bit of an ease down. And in fact, if you want to look at it another way, this is just another cut of the data. Now, what about what's ahead? Well, in my scenarios, I try to have a look at what may be playing out. None of these scenarios will be right necessarily. Things change, but we use the framework driven by our core models, and it's based on from today. And the three scenarios are the first one, where we have the Goldilocks zone rates stay at 4.35%. They fall later in 2025. Inflation eases with expectations of the RBA. Wages rise a bit faster. No recession. Migration remains strong. The second is a soft landing, where you have rates above 4.35%. Inflation falls, but then rises again, stays above target until 2026. No recession, migration falls. So the migration lever is quite a powerful one in terms of house prices. And the third is the nightmare scenario. Now we have higher rates, 4.35% up. Mortgage rates will be 7.25% up and stay high through 25. Inflation stays sticky, unemployment rises, wages growth stalls. We have recession, and then rates get cut, but probably too late. Migration drops below average. So those are the three scenarios I run. I could run others, but those are the three. And if I do that, then what we can now look at is some of the consequences of that. And I remind you that the forward projections of interest rate cuts, according to the markets, have actually changed again. So they are still looking for cuts through 25, but not anything like as aggressive as they were previously. And that is partly because of this move in the two-year bond rate, as I mentioned earlier on in the show. That's signaling rates higher for longer too. The two-year rate is a proxy for the cash rate. Hence, the markets are actually now wiring in. And look, the markets are only taking expectations. They're not predictors either. So if we then take that and say, well, what's the outcome? In Victoria, my very best case for Victorian house prices, they're pretty much flat over the next 3 years, actually up 0.9% for houses. And the base case will be a fall, quite a significant fall over 3 years, maybe 19%. And the worst case, if things really fell apart, would be 39%. Now, that downside scenario is maybe unlikely, but you know, not necessarily completely off the table. Units, pretty much the same, falling a little less, and that's true even in the worst case scenario in Victoria. So Victorian prices, I can't see much upside ahead. If I compare Western Australia, though, Western Australia still has significant upside in the best case scenario, maybe 17% over 3 years. On the base case, maybe a small fall. In fact, a rise and then flat and then a fall over 3 years. This is cumulatively 3.2% over 3 years. Base case, a more significant fall. Units, not quite such a strong rise, nor such a strong fall. But you can compare and contrast Victoria with Western Australia. If you then look at New South Wales, well, the best case is there is still an upside, 10% over 3 years, or the base case, 10% fall over 3 years, and the worst case, 29% over 3 years cumulative for houses, and units following along pretty closely, maybe not quite as dramatically falling. If I take Queensland, there is still potential for a rise, 16% over 3 years. That's the best case. Base case, a fall of 3.6%, worst case, a fall of 23%, and units following on. And if I then look at South Australia, you can see there that still significant rises, best case 19%. The base case flat pretty much over the next 3 years, the worst case a fall, and that fall about 20% over 3 years. And the base case for the units following along, not quite falling as much. On the ACT story, very little upside, even in the best case scenario, 3.5% on the best case. ACT is definitely seeing some negativity at the moment. The base case, a fall of 16%, and the worst case, a 36% fall. And you can see units pretty much following along suit, not falling quite as much. And finally, in the NT, very low sample, of course, but there is significant variation between the best case, up 18%, the base case down 1.9% over 3 years, and 21% over the worst case scenario over 3 years, and units following along. So the bottom line is this. It's a time for extra caution, especially as more investment properties are on a net cash flow basis underwater. But as always, it's important to get granular and get the local data, as each market is different, and also do due diligence on a property if you do make an offer, as capital appreciation might be limited at best for the foreseeable future. Now, I'll be discussing this further on my Monday rant with property insider Edwin Almeida, so look out for that show tomorrow. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer.
I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.